Thank you very much. Nice to have Pat back. Just got back this week from Vienna from a nice tour with the Big Rock Singers. I was at a concert here last night. The Philharmonic Chorus and the Okotoks Men's Chorus sang last night. What a beautiful, beautiful concert last night. We join together in reading the scripture. No scripture in this season of Advent is about Christmas, actually, until we get to actually Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. They're all about preparation and waiting for the Christ to come. And so we read today from the Gospel of Luke as the announcement of John the Baptist's birth has taken place and the anticipation of the new Christ coming with the advent of Christmas. This particular passage comes from a passage where Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, has just been allowed to speak, and he is so overwhelmed with awe and gratitude that he offers this praise and blessing to God. Let's listen from the Gospel of Luke. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, he's speaking to his son John, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. May God help us to take to heart this, our holy word from Scripture today. Today we continue in our Advent theme of journeying toward Bethlehem. Advent itself is a spiritual journey of expectation, of anticipation, of moving towards something so mysterious and so miraculous that we don't want to rush the journey and get there too fast before we are fully prepared for the true gift. A big part of any journey is the journey itself and the planning for the journey, not just the destination. I did receive some feedback last week from members of the congregation and from more than one person about not putting Christmas carols in the Advent season leading up to Christmas. But Advent itself as a Christian season is separate from Christmas, which begins Christmas Eve and stretches out through Epiphany in January. We sing our Christmas songs beginning on December 24th and on into January. We often get to this point in the year when we seem anxious to get into the Christmas spirit, which usually means for most people that we want it to get us in the mood of doing the shopping and baking and wrapping and all the preparations and the lovely stuff that we often associate with this season. But we need to hold back. We need to hold off for just a little bit longer, because Advent has an important place in the Christian calendar. For Advent itself calls us to look deeply into the truth of human reality. Advent speaks to us of the deepest needs of the human condition and reminds us that we are preparing for a celebration that is not dedicated to consumerism or parties or other distractions that might keep us away from what is most important. We dwell in Advent on the struggles we face. We dwell in Advent on the reality of who we truly are and the condition of the world that we find ourselves in today. Once we have acknowledged our circumstances and have been honest, deeply honest about our lives, then we are prepared for what Christmas is really all about. It is about God's response to our very real human need. It is about a gift given by God that meets the innermost needs of all humans, all creation. But until we go through Advent, we cannot possibly know what Christmas truly is about and what it can mean for our lives. Advent acknowledges the reality of our lives so that we can really and truly appreciate what God has given us in Christ when Christmas actually comes. That God has given us the gift of Jesus, the gift of God with us, Emmanuel. Christmas then becomes the celebration of that gift. And if we are prepared and open, it becomes the answer to our greatest human need. It is in that spirit that Christmas becomes a celebration. Advent then accentuates our human need and the recognition of what goes on in this world today. Christmas points to God and how God will meet those needs. Last week, we started out the journey by starting with hope. Not a hope that denies reality, but the hope that we as Christians proclaim. The hope of God in the world, in us, in each one of us. The hope for that which is not yet reality, but the hope that God will bring about healing and justice and wholeness in God's time. All journeys begin with hope, with a sense of anticipation that something good is ahead of us. We live then as a people of hope. Last week you received little travel bags. And in it were seeds of hope. Recognizing that each one of us is to be a mini Christ in the world, offering hope. Each seed represents one act of hope that we can practice throughout the season of Advent. If you didn't receive a bag last week, there are extra bags for the journey. Today, we continue on our journey with its focus on peace. Now, I have to first of all be upfront and admit the irony of putting together a message on peace, because I felt no peace putting this message together. Considering the theme of what I was supposed to be speaking about today, I wrestled each and every day with what I could say today. What does one say about peace in the midst of our heightened awareness of the lack of peace in the world today? Of war and conflict that threatens any possibility of peace. Closer to home, of our loss of jobs and livelihoods. Of mass shootings. It seems almost on a regular basis these days. And escalating anger and violence and extremism. Of the danger that we are destroying our environment and the Earth's habitat. And we come to a place sometimes where we wonder where peace is ever possible. I struggled to say something that is not trite or unrealistically optimistic. That we know then would be just a bunch of religious babble, glossing over the reality of conditions we struggle with in the world today. Peace seems very remote in times such as these. This is the reality that we speak of in this Advent season, that we must speak of. Otherwise, Christmas makes no sense. Why would we need a Savior if we didn't recognize the reality of life today? Why would we need Emmanuel, God with us, if we didn't acknowledge the need for something greater than ourselves to enter into this human condition to offer us hope and peace, joy and love. Why do we need Christmas if we don't recognize what we need? We long for peace, for an end of the turmoil that threatens our very sanity, both within ourselves and in the world. We struggle to find that place where we are mature and grounded enough to withstand the forces that are at war within our hearts and minds, and forces of hatred and evil and apathy that threaten so many lives today. Yet we dare, we have the audacity to say as Christians that despite the very many real threats and dangers in the world, that there is a force that can enter into these dark places within us and without to quell the struggles that we face on earth today, to offer us peace when we are in the throes of conflict and uncertainty, that we have a reason to believe that peace is not only possible, but inevitable if we have faith in God. I'm going to say that again. That we have reason to believe that peace is not only possible, but inevitable if we have faith in God. Believe me, I do not say this lightly. For I believe that Christianity does force us to recognize reality and not gloss over how painful the human condition is. Nor do I agree with Karl Marx, who said that religion is the sigh of the oppressed culture, the heart of a heartless world, and the soul of a soulless condition. It is the opium of the people. By which he meant that the only purpose of religion is to give poor and oppressed people in this world a contentment with the illusion that there is something coming that is better in the next. I do not believe in that religion. Best, he said, to abandon religion and face reality. The Christian faith allows us to do both. To look at reality head on and still have faith. If this were the case, that religion was just an opium of the people, it's just a system of false hope, then there is no need for Advent. Let's just celebrate Christian, as most people do these days, as a good secular holiday party with friends and family and gift-giving and generosity and all those worthy celebrations, to be sure. But not the reason that we as Christians celebrate. Christmas, if we take it seriously, is about real hope, real peace, real joy, and real love experienced and expressed through our faith in Christ. The passage we just read from Luke is a beautiful expression of the longing of a people in Jesus' day who were in the midst of great turmoil. I'm sure they thought, we even see it in Scripture, that the end was near 2,000 years ago. They were in the midst of turmoil, but they nevertheless believed that light would enter into darkness, that sins would be forgiven, and that the people would walk in the way of peace through the one who was to come, the Messiah, the hope of all people. Luke tells us the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah, John the Baptist's parents, of them being long past childbearing age, and yet through some miraculous intervention of God, they got pregnant and had John the Baptist. Zechariah is so overwhelmed with awe, with wonder, with the power of the Holy Spirit, that he utters those words we just read of awe and wonder. And he tells his newborn son that he will be the prophet of God, the one to prepare the way, who will come to shed light in the darkest places in the world, who will forgive sins, and who will guide us all in the path of peace. That is what we celebrate at the end of the journey to Bethlehem. Peace, genuine peace, is not the absence of conflict in the world or in our lives. This kind of wishful thinking assumes that peace will become a reality when there is no more conflict or struggle. But I have to say this, conflict and struggle are not only human realities, they are human necessities. We must have conflict and struggle in order to be human and to grow. Evolution requires conflict and struggle. The world requires it in order for us to grow up, to be mature, to evolve. Without conflict in our lives, there is no growth, no maturity, no wisdom. There's no need for it. We need to have problems that butt up against each other in order to be creative and productive. Lack of conflict, what we see as peace, which is lack of conflict, really leads to boredom, inertia, apathy, and stagnancy. We don't want that. We need conflict. It's a reality and a necessity. One of our greatest mistakes today, I think, is to avoid conflict, is to try to avoid conflict. Anybody like me, I hate it. I don't like engaging in conflict. But one of our greatest mistakes today is to want to avoid it and to shield our children from conflict, pain, and struggle. Because conflict forces us to come to terms with the reality that there are many ways in the world of being and believing. Peace will only come then to us and to the world when we acknowledge our differences and that conflict is a part of life and accept it as something that will always be a part of reality. Peace then is only possible when we manage conflict in God's way, with faith and trust and respect, when we find ways to live with each other that accept that we are different and will have conflicting views about the world. Lack of peace indicates simply a lack of maturity in our lives and in the world. We're all part of the same human family. We have to get that. And we need to work together for the good of all. We are not the only ones in history, believe me, who have lived in times of horrendous conflict. And somehow, we have not only survived conflict in the world, we have thrived in spite of it. We need to have faith that this is possible. St. Francis of Assisi, from whom our current Pope takes his name now, lived almost 900 years ago. He was an aristocratic upbringing and a good life of fine wine and privileged indulgences. He was, by all reports, a rebellious adolescent known for his charm and great vanity. He was supposed to go into his father's textile business, but found that future very unappealing and boring. He didn't want to do what his dad was doing. He wanted to be a knight and a hero. In 1202, he got his chance when war broke out in his home country, and he joined the cavalry. In the course of that war, Francis was captured, and he spent a year in prison before his family secured his release. That war irrevocably changed his life. He was never the same after that, and he eventually dedicated his life to Christ and to the church, taking a vow of simplicity and poverty. In the course of his preaching, teaching, and ministry to humans, and he loved animals, so he often preached to them as well, Francis is credited with composing a prayer that we still sing or recite today. Jump forward 900 years after St. Francis. In 1987, Mother Teresa received, mostly against her will, the Nobel Peace Prize for her work with the poor in Calcutta. We now know from the letters that she wrote to a trusted mentor that her life was one of great struggle, of conflict. She never knew for sure whether she was serving God or serving herself. She tried to discern God's presence and call in her life. This weekend, on Friday, a new movie was released called The Letters, chronicling Mother Teresa's life and work. In the movie, there is a scene where she receives the Nobel Peace Prize and uses St. Francis's prayer to accentuate her message. I'm going to invite you in just a moment to listen to that speech, that Nobel Peace speech by Mother Teresa. But I want you to especially take note of what she says right after the prayer. Because I think that if we want to see peace in the world, we will pray this prayer ourselves, asking only God that God makes us instruments of his peace. I think that is our true hope, when we all desire and practice it. Today, when you leave, you will be given a peace dove. It says shalom and peace on one side. It's very, very fragile, because in the time from getting to my desk to here, I broke mine. And I broke one at DeWinton as well. And we broke maybe a couple dozen making them. They are very fragile, as is peace. One of the people at DeWinton said, I'm going to take the broken one. I'll take the broken one. I said, no, there are others. And she said, no, I want to take the broken one, because it reminds us of how fragile we are as human beings and how very difficult peace is. As you leave, take your peace dove. Take it home and place it somewhere, maybe on your tree, where you'll be reminded to seek God's peace and serenity, which transcends human understanding. Following the movie clip, we are going to flow right into our time at our candle stations. If you have a concern or a need or a celebration or anything you would like to light a candle, you're welcome to do that. Otherwise, I invite you to stay in your seats and spend the time in prayer and reflection. Go and dig deep into that source of peace in your life, so that we may share it with others during this Advent season. So right after the clip, we're going to just spend some time in quiet reflection and prayer. And can you turn the lights off and leave them off during that time, Keith? Thanks.
I know she does not want to.